with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Boy, Scott was all fired up about that ice fishing seminar on the 1st of December,
the guy's
man.
Passionate about fishing.
Right.
And he brings, I'm telling you, all that fish that we do up there.
The walleye,
he caught it. He catches tons of fish. And his wife and son, they're just huge fishermen. And they just go to different lakes all over. And I think he does a lot of it on Gun Lake, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you know, the thing is about Alan Bob's is that you're talking to guys that actually do
that's the deal.
What they're selling.
That's
down
the deal.
There. And that makes all the difference in the world because
even the kids, even those 20-year-old guys, I mean, they're just so deep in product knowledge.
Right. Yep. So. And they do a great job of training their people, great selection. So just fun to go in there.
Yeah. Man. So, you know, this time of year, I mean, it got cold quick. And if you weren't ready, if you didn't have your due diligence done, so to speak, on your deck, you still got a little bit of time because it's still halfway decent, but the really nasty stuff is coming, and it's a great time to get some things set up and get your grill and your grilling area in shape for the cold weather. And if you do your prep right, and you're a good prep guy, your experience at the grill will be much less painful and more successful. And that's really the key to the whole thing is, you know, even as little things like making sure, number one, that you have a cleared path. So as you're walking with that big platter of cooked food, it doesn't end up in the snow because it's a tricky walk back depending on where your grill's set.
Yeah, and if there's slippery spots or whatever. But I want to start with the wind. Mm-hmm. I referenced that in the first segment, but I did the turkey on the smoker this year, and the problem was the wind. And I ended up putting up my pop-up, my little 10x10 pop-up, and put two – I have one side, but I wrapped it around the corner and then drew the –
with like a tarp?
Yeah, right. It's a side for the 10x10 that came with it. But as opposed to putting it all on one side, I wrapped it around one corner and drew the smoker – you know, put that corner into the wind, so to speak, and then drew the smoker right in as close as I thought I could.
Why didn't you just do it in your garage?
Right. Because that's not safe. That's the first reason. Now, have I done it in a garage before?
Yeah,
yes, right?
I remember seeing pictures.
Right. But it was on the edge of the garage, you know? I mean, but this
as he
was
says
outside.
To the fire chief.
Right, yeah. Your Honor. Yeah. But really. But anyway, I tucked it back in the corner, and it helped, but it still was a much longer cook because it draws the heat.
Well, just like the weatherman will tell you, that wind chill factor has the same impact on your smoker or grill that it has on your body when you're getting ready to go outside, and they're talking about a wind chill of this. Well, it's doing that same thing to the number of BTU that you're putting into your grill or smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And your typical grill is, I'm going to say, 18,000 to 25,000 BTU. Well, in the winter, that's going to work like an 11,000 to 15,000 BTU because you're missing about 60 degrees of help there. You're fighting. So if you're using like a grill, and I think your average guy's got a grill.
Right. Usually a gas grill.
Yep. It's going to be single wall chamber, and it's going to be moderately powered. So there are various things you can do to get yourself set up, but I would consider something like Jop did where you have some sort of permanent block on your deck, even if it's something as simple as screwing a couple of pieces of conduit or something like that up and just bungee cording a small tarp to an area just to provide a corner block for it.
Windbreak, right?
And your wife might have a fit because it might make your deck look a little goofy. But
she's not out there in the winter anyway.
No, not really. And, you know, there are some better-looking tarps. You can get some nice, thick black tarps that won't look so bad, look a little bit more like a wall. But the key is to get yourself blocked off because that wind is a killer.
Really draws the heat out of there.
The other thing is snow. A lot of times you'll go outside, and now mine's covered now, but if your deck is not covered and if your grill's not covered, you're going to have a lot of snow on it. And so one of the things you'll want to do all the time is keep getting that snow off of it, because sooner or later you'll build up a bunch of ice on the thing, and that's just going to be a pain in the butt. You'll end up banging up your lid to get it off. So before you fire that grill up, if there's snow on top, get rid of it, because you're just going to create water, and you're going to rob yourself of 20 minutes worth of defrost.
Now be a good time to talk about investing in a cover for your grill.
Absolutely.
Because
$30.
Right, exactly. And it's money well spent. It does two things. Avoids all that snow on the grill, but it also protects the grill from... There are parts in most grills that corrode,
yep.
And the corrosion is caused
by water. Great point.
And if you can keep some of that off there, the lifespan of your grill will double or triple if you put a cover on it after you use it every time. And I've got an old Broilmaster that I know I bought in 2003, and I've replaced the guts on it twice since 2003, but the shell of it, granted it's aluminum, but it looks like new as it could after being 13 years old, because it's been covered every day. And when I get done with it, you let it cool, and then you put the cover back on. It's not that it's never been out in the rain, but I'm going to tell you, 95% of the lifespan of that grill, there's been a cover on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good when you pull it out of there. So and that's a great stocking stuffer if we're talking about the holidays, right? You just come off Black Friday yesterday. That's a great gift for the guy who's got everything, is a cover for his grill. We'll get into gifts later in the month, but just an idea.
Yeah.
But it helps with cold weather grilling.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys and The Grilling Guys Talk Network. Check out our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. And check us out on Facebook and, of course, Twitter. It's Grilling Guy at Twitter. You know, I think even though it gets a little cold outside, standing out by the grill like I did last night, I grilled up a bunch of chicken last night, simple stuff. Most of the time, even though we're grilling guys and we're supposed to be, you know, these aficionados or whatever, most of the time the stuff I grill is pretty average stuff. I do a lot of just maintenance stuff on the grill because we do most of our meals on the grill now.
And you feed a team. It's not like it's just you and Maureen. There's always people around. You're feeding maybe on the small side four people up to 25 or 30. I mean, people roll into your place and you're eating.
I took some skinless, boneless chicken breasts that my wife got on sale. And we've got, you know, the kids all home right now, and Emily and Matt and the babies, our little granddaughters are
home. Those are like magnets.
I just put some beautiful pictures up of the twin girls, Olive and Charlotte. They're 5 months old. So we got all these people coming over. So we got to get bulk food. Again, we eat a lot of simple stuff. You know, I'm not a multimillionaire or anything. I can't just be feeding steak and filet mignon and, you know, brisket to everybody that comes all the time. It really cuts into the budget, especially when those two big brutes come home, the boys. I mean, they're like hay balers, and you got to throw bulk at them. You want to get rid of old food?
Yeah.
You know? So she brings home some skinless, boneless chicken breasts because they were cheap. So I'm thinking, man, these things are a bit of a trick. You know, I don't want them to be bad, and it's really cold outside.
So what makes them bad? They dry out, right?
Yeah, like crazy.
Well, you got the tech, though.
I know, but it's still a challenge as if you're not going to stand out there and babysit them. So I just rubbed them down with some Tuscan EVO from Old World, and I put a nice little blend of, like, cracked pepper. I did some coriander and sea salt and orange peel. And I threw them on the grill.
Orange peel in a powdered form, or did you actually?
Yeah, it's dehydrated.
Yeah, right.
It's
dehydrated. Exactly.
And a McCormick's or somebody like that. And so I grilled them up, and then as I'm finishing them off, I'm drizzling a little bit more of that Tuscan EVO on the top side. And then I had some finely shredded Parmesan, and I just dusted them all with Parmesan. I shut the grill off, and I let them coast. And talk about a beautiful – I'll post this picture – talk about a beautiful-looking little piece of meat for a cheap piece of meat. They tasted fantastic, and that's just a little aside. It's not necessarily cold weather, but that was something I did in the cold weather, and it's a good, cheap meal that people can afford.
We're also going to come up in the next segment and talk about three or four other things that are great cold-weather cooks. You're not going to want to miss this. Stick with us. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. We'll be back.